Chapter 9. The bulletproof glass of the hospital held out, but the heavy pinging of the bullets made my adrenaline spike, and I watched as the dents in the glass traveled closer to the opening in the window.
"Motherfuckers!" Mohawk howled. "You think you can kill more people? You think you live to tell the fucking tale?"
I got to my feet and ran at a low crouch to reach the girls. "This way," I growled, while the maniac outside finally let off the damn trigger. The three of us stayed ducked down and took cover in the corner of the hallway closest to my window. At least no stray bullets could reach us down there if they made it through the open gap in the glass.
"I'll feed you to the fucking lizards!"
Mohawk screamed. Then I motioned for the girls to stay back while I listened to the clinking of Mohawk Man's reload. I started to edge toward the window. If he was going to do a supervillain movie-style monologue, then I would have time to put a bullet in his skull before he finished reloading. Or so I thought.
"Show your ugly faces, you bastards!"
Mohawk shrieked. And I was about to jump up before he sent three more bullets straight at the window, and one whipped through the opening and impaled the wall behind me.
"We're coming in, and we're taking everything you have! I'm coming to get you!"
I heard footsteps run off, and I dove back to the window, but he had disappeared from view. The girls rushed back to my side, and Haywan swore under her breath.
"We got two,"
Kat said.
"That's a start."
"Only 8 cronies left, and Mohawk's currently got 5 rounds left in his mag," I reported. "We'll try the other side and hope he doesn't reload. With any luck, the rest of his group will be clumped together somewhere like they were over here, and we can pick them off quickly. Are you both all right?"
"Yeah, just pissed we get to deal with crazies on top of dinos,"
Haywan snorted.
"We might have to get used to it,"
Kat sighed. "Maybe, but right now we need to finish this bullshit with this guy before they decide to drive through the lobby," I told the girls. "He's too much of a wild card with that damn gun, and we can't risk letting him in here." We ran down the hall toward the window at the opposite end of the building. The corridor was long and branched off into multiple different wards and bathrooms, and when we reached the end, I could hear laughter down below and the sound of wrenching metal. 4 hulking thugs were using a crowbar to try and wrench a side entrance door open, and the metal of the handle was starting to give way in their efforts. Mohawk wasn't among them, but we would have a clear shot on these guys if we hurried.
"Same thing again?"
I whispered, as I clocked the window slightly further down the hall. The girls nodded and stealthily made their way over to the glass. I pulled the handle and prepared to dive out of sight if it made a noise, but it opened smoothly, and the girls' windows did the same. I carefully aimed my rifle at the closest man, who was bald and had tattoos covering his head. I looked over at the girls, and Kat held her hand up to do the countdown. When her final finger reached her palm, I pulled the trigger, and the bullet lodged itself right in the back of the bald man's skull. He fell against the door with a sickening crunch, and 2 of the other men were hit in the head by the girls. They all collapsed onto the concrete and were dead before they hit the ground. The one remaining man only had time to gasp before I took aim, and I shot him square between the eyes. He fell face down onto the pile of bodies, and the crowbar clanged out of the door handle behind him.
"Nice one, Jason,"
Haywan grinned as I scanned the area for any other gang members.
"They don't know who they're up against,"
Kat chuckled.
"It's definitely amateur hour with these guys."
"Yeah, well, trigger-happy amateurs are some of the most dangerous assholes with a gun," I muttered as I stepped back from the glass. "That Mohawk fuck is still out there with 2 others." I knew it wouldn't be long until Mohawk found more of his dead cronies face down on the concrete. And even though I didn't know how effective his fighting would be, he seemed manic enough to make up for that somehow.
"Let's head back downstairs,"
Haywan agreed. And we started to run back down the linoleum hall to the elevators.
"You sure we shouldn't just hunt for the stairs?"
Kat asked warily as I hit the button next to the silver doors.
"I know we said screw it, but what if one of those maniacs manages to fuck up the lifts?"
"There's no time," I said, as I glanced up to check the illuminated number above the doorway. "Let's just not think about it too much, okay?"
"Think about what?"
Kat asked, as the doors pinged open and we stepped inside.
"The fact that we could live out the rest of our days in a meter-wide steel box and have to resort to eating each other, it hadn't crossed my mind."
I snorted as the pretty soldier hit the ground floor button, and then I sighed with relief as we steadily started to move down. When the door slid open, we ran out into the empty lobby, and I was glad to see the makeshift barrier of hospital beds was still intact. The fabric-covered doors were still in one piece, too, but I could hear the low murmur of voices right outside. I pressed a finger to my lips, and we stealthily jogged closer to the entryway. The voices were close to the door, and it sounded like there were two of them in total. They grunted with laughter when they spoke, and at first, I couldn't hear the high-pitched leader's voice in the conversation. Then the manic bastard must have come strolling over.
"Well, boys?"
Mohawk Man said, and hocked a loogie.
"What you reckon? Is this a treasure chest or what?"
"What do you think's in it?"
one man growled in a deep Northern English accent.
"I reckon they've got shitloads of guns in there."
"Nah,"
another Scottish voice replied.
"There's no chance of that. They'll have taken anything inside unless they're completely daft."
"Fuck,"
Cat hissed.
"They're talking about my jeep. No chance are they touching that baby. We can't move the barricade,"
Haywan whispered.
"We need to find another way."
"Let's try the fire door we came in through," I said.
"Perfect,"
Haywan nodded.
"I wonder how many of them are left out there. They don't sound very worried, which isn't a good sign."
"Yeah, I thought Mohawk would be shitting a brick by now," I admitted. We kept our rifles held high as we ran down the dark lobby toward the fire exit we'd been ushered through earlier. As we approached it, the maniacal laughter of Mohawk rang out through the building, and I heard a huge thump of metal on metal.
"They're probably trying to break into the weapons,"
Haywan hissed.
"I don't want to imagine that guy holding a grenade launcher."
"We found your toys!"
Mohawk suddenly screamed with a cackle.
"Very kind of you to leave us presents! Once we break into this box here, we're gonna mow every fucker in this place down, sound good?" "Good!"
"Absolutely fucking not!"
Cat spat as she reached for the silver bar of the fire exit.
"Have you guys got enough ammo to take down another group?" I asked, and the girls nodded.
"Okay, then I say we take the assholes by surprise." Cat glanced down at a fire extinguisher by my feet and grabbed it.
"We can use this to prop open the door,"
the soldier whispered as she handed it over to me.
"If we need to, we can jump straight back inside, okay? Let's go."
Haywan nodded. "Be careful," I warned. Then Cat slowly pressed down the handle of the fire exit. The door opened silently, and I placed the fire extinguisher down to keep it ajar for us. The group of men were on the other side of Cat's jeep from where we were standing, and there was an ambulance just ahead that we could hide behind to get a clear shot. I raced over to the cover of the emergency vehicle, and the girls sprinted behind me. The sunlight stung my eyes after getting used to the dimly lit hospital, and I blinked to try and adjust to the change in brightness as quickly as possible. The snide chatter kept going in Mohawk's group, and it sounded like they hadn't spotted us. I stood at the back of the ambulance with my back against the cold metal, and the girls crouched near the front end. With a quick peek around the corner of the vehicle, I could see Mohawk prance around the jeep, and he looked too amped up to stand still. He was jittery and grinning in the creepiest way, and he kept circling the vehicle while one of the larger men tried to pull at the lid of the storage box. There were three of them together, and it looked like the hyper-ringleader was still the only one with a gun.
"Gah! It doesn't move!"
the largest of the men grunted as he pulled the lid of the box with giant hands.
"Make it move!"
Mohawk spat.
"What use are you if you can't open a fucking box? Put your back into it!"
The large man grunted and gave another attempt at prying open the storage container with his bare hands. I looked at Haywan and Cat, and they gave me a nod to show they were ready for action.
3, 2, 1,
I mouthed at the girls. Then we jumped around the side of the ambulance in unison, and I immediately put a bullet in the skull of the man at the jeep box. The Mohawk leader had already dove under the jeep by the time Cat tried to take his shoulder out, and Haywan left the second crony bleeding on the concrete. I heard Mohawk's gun clatter to the ground just before he swore to himself, and I was about to drop down and flush him out when we heard something that made us freeze in our tracks. The ground had started to violently shudder, and the familiar sound of enormous footsteps rang out over the concrete parking lot. Something big was on its way to us.
"Oh, fuck," I groaned.
"These fucking dinos,"
Haywan growled. A few seconds later, we saw a herd of 7 triceratops race around an office building and charge straight for the hospital. Although they were herbivores, they were massive and would easily be able to crush us under their feet as they ran. The dinos didn't need to be bloodthirsty to be dangerous, and it seemed that something had already scared them. As they stampeded over the hospital signpost, their huge heads rolled from side to side, and they roared in unison. It would only be a matter of seconds before the massive feet reached us, and adrenaline raced through me with every heavy footstep.
"Get back inside!" I shouted.
"My jeep!"
Kat yelled, and I grabbed her wrist as she turned to run toward her car.
"No!" I shouted. "There's no time, and it's got a lunatic hiding under it!"
Kat looked mournfully at her jeep, but she let me haul her along with me as we turned and fled back to the open fire escape. Then we dove back into the hospital, and I slid across the linoleum floor as Hae-Wan grabbed the fire extinguisher. A second later, the door slammed shut behind us, and we hurried away from the windows as the sound of the stampede roared past the hospital. They brought the dust of cracked concrete with them, and from where we were crouched, I could just make out the tops of their enormous crests.
"Those dead cronies are gonna be pancakes after this,"
Hae-Wan smirked.
"Along with my jeep,"
Kat wailed. "It's close to the entrance. It could be out of range of the herd," I countered. The entire building shook as the herd ran past, and the windows rattled wildly in their frames but managed to stay intact. Then the sound of metal being crushed echoed from the parking lot, and there was a short-lived scream.
"Well, the dinos are doing some of our dirty work," I snorted. "Let's hope they squash that red-haired fucker into the—"
A loud crash cut me off, and a massive crested skull tore through one of the ground-floor windows further down the hall. It looked like the last Triceratops clipped the building on its way past, and glass shattered all over the floor. Then the sound of stampeding feet started to fade, and I heard a familiar animalistic howl.
"Oh, fuck!"
I yelled, and I wrenched my Glock from its holster as I started to sprint toward the broken window. 3 seconds later, the scrawny frame of the gang leader dove through onto the hospital floor. He caught half his arm on broken glass in the process, but the nutbag didn't even seem to notice. He just rolled over and jumped up to his feet with a feral scream. I silently slowed down to a stop. Mohawk had his back to me with his Makarov loosely in hand, and I could smell the stench of alcohol, sweat, and cigarettes on him from here. He was chuckling to himself when he swayed and turned around, and he had a crooked, zonked-out grin beneath his bloodshot eyes. He was staring down the barrel of my gun now, and his creepy grin only widened.
"Oh, all right, mate,"
Mohawk drawled.
"We'll split the booty, then. I'll get half the little nurses, and you get—"
"Shut the fuck up,"
I barked, and I put a bullet right between his eyes. The shock of the bullet and the pressure in his skull caused his eyeballs to pop out of their sockets, and I gagged as they dangled by the optic nerves. Then the scrawny man crumpled over and collapsed at my feet. Blood oozed from his head and eye sockets, and I quickly moved back as the pool of blood spilled onto the linoleum floor.
"That was awesome,"
Kat laughed as the girls jogged up to my side.
"Thank fuck. That guy was annoying as hell. He smells like rot,"
Hae-Wan gagged. The pretty soldier crouched down to the body and pulled the grubby pistol from Mohawk's hands. Then she reached a hand into his jean pocket, and she scrunched her face up as she pulled out the spare magazines he had left.
"Better than nothing,"
the corporal shrugged, and she stored the mags in her pocket before she checked the safety on the pistol and secured it on her hip.
"Let's go and find Becca,"
Hae-Wan said.
"We need to make sure she's okay."
"Let's split up and see if we can't find Becca faster," I agreed. "And maybe a few biscuits."
"I love a biscuit after a gunfight,"
Kat said with a lopsided grin. Then the soldier gave me a quick kiss before she turned to head down the hall to our right. Hae-Wan pulled me in for a much sloppier kiss, and when the Korean beauty released me, she sent me a slow wink. I smiled and watched both women head off in separate directions with their rifles strapped over their shoulders, but then I glanced down at Mohawk's body. "Fucking prick," I muttered, as I holstered my Glock, and I headed down a third hallway as I shifted the strap of my rifle. At the end of the hall, I found a pair of white doors and pushed through them. It was a stairwell with a wide set of gray stairs, and another fire exit was near the bottom. It had been barricaded up with an old oven and two large metal boxes.
"Now we find the stairs?" I snorted.
I started to jog up the stairway, and I took the steps two at a time to reach the first floor landing. When I looked up from there, I saw that the stairs continued right up another three floors, and I knew it might take a while to find Becca in the huge building. I opened the door onto the first floor and stepped into darkness. The windows on this back half of the level had all the blinds pulled down, and there was no sound of voices or movements in the blackness. I felt around on the wall until I found the light switch, and when I turned it on, the bright lights flickered into action. I looked down the long corridor in front of me and saw that each room was shut with the small blinds on either side of the doors pulled open. It looked like a perfect setup to protect patients in a lockdown, and I hoped this was where they'd taken Becca. I'd feel a lot better knowing she was this tucked away during all that shit with Mohawk's gang. Then I stepped into the corridor and started to make my way down the hall, and I reached for the handle of the first room on my right. I tapped lightly and slowly turned the handle, but then the door suddenly swung open. The next thing I saw was Amir running at me with a frying pan held above his head.
Whoa! I laughed as I dove out of the way of the neurologist.
Steady on, man! It's just me!
Jason!
The doctor breathed as he lowered his weapon.
Sorry. I thought this would work well enough to keep the patient safe. I didn't mean to almost knock you out.
I'm glad you're so protective of your people, I assured him, as I looked down at the heavy steel pan.
Jason!
Becca called out, and I looked into the dim room to see the gorgeous blonde laid on a bed. My heart leapt into my throat to see her alive, and I rushed over to her side. I grabbed Becca's face and kissed her deeply, and as her soft lips hungrily met mine, I forgot about anything else that was going on.
The others?
Becca asked, and her soft brown eyes were wide as we broke our kiss.
Are Haywan and Kat okay?
They're fine, I smiled. We took out the gang that showed up, too.
We heard a stampede, Amir said from the doorway,
and I straightened up so I could look at him.
It sounded bad, but I made sure everyone stayed put. This whole ward is full of patients, and so is the floor right above us.
I thought everyone should be separated,
Becca said.
Rather than having us all sitting in the dark in the same spot, that's hardly a proper strategy.
She is quite bossy, Amir grinned. But even with a messed up leg, she was just the kind of person we needed.
Bossy?
Becca laughed.
How dare you? I was only shouting instructions to help.
We missed you down there, I said as I stroked her blonde hair. Oh, I better let the others know that you're okay.
So it's okay to come out?
Amir asked, as I pulled my radio from my hip. I can start to get everyone moved back to their rooms? I reckon so, I nodded. But you might want to get the staff to do a quick sweep of the entryway. There's some broken glass and a dead gang member down there. Four more are on the north side of the building and two on the south. I'm pretty sure the two dead guys out front got trampled, though.
That won't be a problem, Amir said with a shrug. We're accustomed to handling cadavers. I'll see what I can do about boarding up the broken window. Your friend here has finished her IV drip as well. She seems to be much improved.
Thank you, I replied, and the neurologist shook my hand before he left the dim room. Then I found myself alone with my beautiful blonde girlfriend.
So, what happened?
Becca asked, as she pouted slightly.
I still can't believe I missed a fight with you guys. I felt so bloody useless lying here with my leg up when I knew you lot were fighting danger out there.
I needed you to be safe for now, I smiled. This way you can go back to kicking ass as soon as possible. Becca sighed, and I grinned as she stuck her bottom lip out at me. Kat?
Haywan,
I said through the radio. Found Becca and the others safe and sound. We're just off the stairwell on the first floor. Take the hall straight back from the entrance to the white doors. Over.
Awesome. We'll be right there. We just found the same stairs. Over.
Kat replied, and I watched Becca's big brown eyes stare up at me. So, what would make you feel better? I asked as I sat down on the bed beside her. The blonde wrapped her hand over my forearm and gave it a squeeze.
I can think of a few things,
she said innocently, and I felt a rush of heat as she bit her lip.
You did say you weren't done doting on me.
How sturdy do you think this bed is? I asked. And Becca replied with a kiss.
Hey,
Haywan said as she appeared at the doorway, and the Korean rushed over to Becca and threw her arms around her English friend. Kat came in too and gave Becca's shoulder a squeeze.
I'm glad to see you guys,
Becca laughed.
I think Jason was just going to fill me in on the fight and maybe give me a little massage.
Her brown eyes stayed fixed on me, and she twirled a blonde lock around her finger.
I think you certainly deserve it.
Haywan grinned as she gave me and Becca both a kiss on the cheek.
Enjoy the, massage. We better help get the rest of the patients back downstairs. You can stay too.
Becca smiled at the two girls. My head almost exploded at the thought. But before I could work out how to fit all four of us on this one hospital bed, Kat started chuckling.
Next time,
the soldier promised.
You've had a rough morning, and I'm positive Jason is just the doctor you need. We should help out, but you kids have fun.
With that, the two girls sauntered back out into the hall, and Haywan let out a lusty moan just before she closed the door behind them. The sultry sound echoed through my mind as I glanced over at Becca.
So,
the blonde Brit purred.
What do you prescribe, doctor?